This is episode number one with Elsie and Dominica, the founders of Clean Beauty Co. in London. Welcome to Zila Food. Zila is the German word for soul, so soul food, but Zila food. This podcast is in conjunction with Zila Magazine, an online magazine bridging faith, cultures, and culture. I'm Allie Portee, an American Southern girl who travels and loves talking to people. I'm bringing you conversations from global movers and shakers from somewhere in the world. From these conversations, hopefully you'll be inspired to move and shake too. Thanks for spending time with me today. I hope you get fed. So let's begin. Elsie and Dominica are two British businesswomen in London. They founded Clean Beauty Co. They're pioneers of natural beauty, and they met at work in London, and after getting to know each other, they decided to start a business. Reading ingredient labels was their thing, and it didn't stop with food labels. They started reading beauty product labels, and they were horrified. Both ladies make products with active botanicals and ingredients that nourish and feed the skin and hair. Their products are good for your skin, better for your body, better for the environment, and just better for everyone. What inspired y'all, or how did Clean Beauty Co. come to be?
So it goes back to us, the two of us meeting. So we used to work together just on this street, actually, down there.
What were y'all doing?
We were in digital advertising. So it was video advertising. And basically, we both got hired at the same time to do a very similar role, selling. So the video ads that sit in front of when you're trying to watch a video online and they play an ad first, that was us selling them.
Ah, I see.
It was a fun job. We hit it off straight away. We became, really good friends. We had loads in common. But one thing that really kind of struck a chord for both of us, and it was at the time when the sort of wellness trend was hitting the UK, was just a kind of exploration and understanding of health and fitness and food and different types of food. And we were both kind of started on and went through that journey together. And we did some mad things, like we went vegan for a while and it didn't last very long. But there were all these amazing food bloggers, I'm sure you guys have it in the US as well, who were kind of pioneering that scene, and we were really interested in them and found them really interesting, found their journeys really interesting. And we go to the gym all the time together. We did like triathlons and marathons and just... We were kind of, it was really nice to have somebody there to kind of go on that journey with and start to understand how food and fitness actually fuel your body.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we were in sales roles, so it was our job to entertain clients. And the two of us, big beauty junkies, so we'd take clients out to get our nails done and our hair done and go for facials and all of that kind of stuff, all on the corporate credit card, which was nice. Beauty has always been a big part of our lives. You know, we find it empowering, we find it fun. From the age of 14, we've been experimenting with blue mascara and all of that kind of stuff. So Clean Beauty was a sort of collision of those two things, because we were really, really interested in and kind of obsessing over ingredient labels of food. Because we understood what those ingredients meant for our bodies, but we'd actually never applied those rules to our beauty ingredients, but that doesn't make any sense. And the more we spoke about it, the more we were kind of starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable with it, because we were like, well, our skin is an organ. You know, why haven't we started to think about what we're putting all over it? It absorbs stuff.
Right.
So we did. The pair of us sat down together and tried to kind of pick apart a label of one of our favourite creams, often very expensive creams. And I think what we found was quite disappointing in a lot of cases. It's quite difficult to decipher, but once we kind of understood what was going into these products, we just felt a bit betrayed and just a bit like, you know, there are some things that caused alarm, but kind of the point that really drilled home with us was that there was just not enough of the active botanicals that these companies were talking about to actually make a difference to us at all.
Right.
It was mainly water.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Why are we paying so much for all of this stuff? So we decided to kind of take it back a few steps and really start to understand beauty formulation. And that's kind of how the blog started, because that's how we started out. We were a blog, first of all. So it was, and I think because it was the two of us and we had each other and we had our friendship, and we found it just so fun. So we would spend our weekends just in the kitchen trying to basically making beauty products.
I see. So it was a blog for like skin recipes.
Exactly.
I see. Yeah, and then the concept came to make products.
Yeah. So the kind of making products came from a want from our audience, didn't it, really? It's kind of interesting.
I guess people, as much as they would love to kind of spend their Sundays making beauty products, it's not always a feasible thing. And I think what won us a huge audience was our transparency as well. So we were always incredibly upfront with ingredients, how we used them, why they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we found when we started looking at ingredients labels is that it felt a little bit elitist, it felt a little bit exclusive. It was like, if you don't have a science degree, you don't have the right to understand what's in your product, which is ridiculous, right? We are consumers, we deserve to know every ingredient.
Exactly.
And what you tend to find is that a lot of ingredients are there and you're not really sure what their function is, or if they have any benefits for the skin, or if they're just purely from a functional perspective. So we're always really transparent with each ingredient, why it's there, what purpose it serves, both from a holistic, you know, skin nurturing point of view, but also a scientific functional point of view. Because there are some ingredients that you need if you're going to make things like lotions, you need preservatives, that, you know, there's a whole host of scientific ingredients you need. But the nice thing about natural is that you can often find ingredients that also have really nice holistic benefits as well. So you kind of get that dual function, which you typically don't get when you use synthetic ingredients, because they're manufactured for a specific purpose rather than kind of coincidentally being able to be used for this, but it also is great for that.
Was there a fear in actually starting a business? Because the statistics show, to get a woman to run for political office, you've got to ask her like 2 or 3 times, whereas you only really have to ask a man once to run for office. So to take the plunge to, and I don't know, did you quit your jobs immediately?
No.
But was there a fear to actually starting to sell a product?
Yeah, I guess the thing is that we're both quite ambitious, and I guess by nature we're both a little bit fearless. We kind of just dive head straight into things and kind of think about the consequences later. So, I mean, we ran the business for probably 18 months before we decided to leave our full-time jobs. And that was a conversation where we sat down and it just got to the point where the work was just too overwhelming. Mm. And it was either kind of like, we either just go for it or we give it up, because we're not doing either of our jobs justice at this point. And I think we're in the fortunate position that we don't have families and we don't have mortgages, and it's kind of an ideal time to take a bit of a risk in your career, because, you know, we have the CV that if we needed to, we could go back and work quite easily, I think.
And how old were y'all when you started the blog and then when you started to sell products?
27, 28 when we started. I've just turned 30 now, and Dom's 29 now.
Okay.
We quit our jobs at 29. We quit last September.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going for 6 months now.
Yeah. Okay. And we, you know, the decision was one of the biggest ones we've had to make in our career. Well, no, I think the single biggest one I've had to make in my career so far anyway, because we were both in really cushy jobs. When we look back now, we're like, I can't believe how good we had things. You know, we'd really built up a name for ourselves in the companies that we were working at, and we were both kind of excelling in those roles. So when we approached our bosses to say that we were leaving, they were kind of quite shocked, because it was like, why, how, you know, you're doing so well, what are you? But I think you can't argue with somebody following their dreams.
Of
and
course.
So actually they were incredibly supportive once we sort of explained it all. But yeah, it was a decision that we didn't take lightly, and I think we were at a natural position where we're old enough and experienced enough for that to lend well to the business, but we weren't too far into our careers and we didn't have children. I think if either of us had children, it would may have made things harder. Leaving the security of a full-time salary much harder.
What advice would you give to a man or a woman, whether they're 20 or 40 or 60, wanting to start a business? What piece of advice would you
give? Do it. Go for it.
I think also it's important to test the waters. I mean, everyone has a great business idea, and I guess we were fortunate in that we were already up and running. We had traction. Obviously, running a full-time job running a business alongside a full-time job isn't feasible for everyone. Again, the advantage is that there were two of us, so we could split the workload and we were able to get somewhere while still working. But definitely test the waters. You know, don't have a great business idea and then quit the day job the next day. You know, set things up, see how things go, because ultimately in this day and age, the internet technology enables people to work anywhere, anytime, and often that's weekends, that's evenings, but you know, that's the kind of sacrifice that you often have to make at the start to test whether your business is viable or not.
Yeah, for sure. And the decision of leaving a full-time salary as well, I wouldn't take that lightly. I wouldn't, you know, there's a huge element of risk, and it does take somebody who's slightly risk adverse is the wrong way around.
Risk averse.
Who's up to take the risk? to be able to do it. But having said that, you know, we thought it through massively, and I would give that advice to anybody. Make sure that you're, because if you're not ready to do it, you don't have a way of funding yourself for a while. You're going to put extra pressure and extra strain on yourself, and that financial worry is something that I think would just put more pressure on making the business succeed, and it might actually be detrimental in the long run. So
it can force you to make maybe short-term decisions that are beneficial but not long-term. So if you feel like you're running out of money, you might make decisions to give the business income in some way, but they might not be, you know, long-term the best thing for the business.
And trust is a big part. You two have to be able to trust one another to be able to work together. And I guess you already knew one another beforehand.
Yeah.
Did you bring in investors? Like, how do you know how to trust other outside companies or whatever it takes to make a business go? Like, how do you have the discernment to trust, you know, each other from the beginning and then other people?
Trusting each other was down to the fact that we knew each other, and that's really important. But I think our relationship was quite important because we knew each other from a work context. So we knew how the other one worked. That's how I know Dominica, you know. And so rather than her being a friend and I had no idea what she's like in the workplace, it was actually the opposite. I knew her in the workplace first and then she became a friend. So that was really important because I trusted that she's a hard worker and I like her work ethic and it matches mine. And also we don't have a history of this long friendship where there's loads of emotion tied into it, and if one person said this to them then they'd be upset. So that was really important, I think. We've bought in a lot of external companies to help us because we're big believers in filling in any gap in your skill set with people who know what they're doing, and we're the first to put our hands up and say, this is the first time that we've run a business, it's the first time that we've ventured into beauty as an industry, we're new to the industry. And so there are loads of elements of the business that we don't understand, so we've brought in external people to help us, and I think I would say don't be afraid of doing that, definitely do it. You can't do everything by yourself. Yeah, we've got consultants, we've got agencies that we work with. What we did with every single one of them was meet them first of all and spent a long time with them to make sure that chemistry was right. Because you'll end up spending a lot of time with them. And that's really important. And meet with a few and get some comparisons. Yeah, and compare quotes financially, compare how you feel with them, like if that chemistry is there, if you get on with them. If you don't get on with them, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So you have to listen to yourself, to your gut,
first intuition. A lot of it is intuition. Yeah, and I think if you've got a good intuition, trust it. And I think from a business partner perspective, just make sure the playing field is always equal. So we've invested down to the last cent the same amount of money. you know, we'll always withdraw the same amount of money. We own the same in the company. Everything is split 50-50 and it will continue to do so. So again, it doesn't feel like one person's carrying the burden and while the other one's kind of investing less or risking less. Everything has to be 50-50 and that then translates to an element of trust because we've both got the same stake. So if one of us is not pulling their way, you know, both
will suffer.
Yeah.
So after you did your blog and then you decide to, you know, keep your jobs for a while and then now 6 months later you're doing this full time.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the steps in doing a business? Did you have to come up with a business plan, investors?
Yeah.
How does that work for those out there who are trying to figure out what are the steps that you take to start
quite a natural evolution in that we started producing content and the content we were then able to monetize through events, through workshops and also through a book that we got published by Penguin Random House. So there's an element of our business that's content focused, but it also brings us revenue. And then from a product perspective, obviously we sell beauty products. So there wasn't a point where we kind of sat down and drew up a master plan. A lot of the things that have fallen into place in terms of you know, revenue for us have been quite organic. We've seen an opportunity and kind of just run with it. But there's definitely been points, particularly when we got a Virgin funding as well, where we had to sit down and really do a business plan, hash out the numbers, be really clear on what we were doing, where we were going. But the thing I would say is even since we've done that in December, the business has evolved so much and almost that piece of paper that we did 2 months ago is a little bit irrelevant now. So if you do draw up business plans and forecasts, don't be alarmed if they change and feel comfortable with, you know, switching gears quite quickly, particularly when you're small, and that will happen all the time.
Yeah.
And opportunities will fall in your lap and you just have to run with them.
I guess that's why you should take a risk, right? Because sometimes before you take the plunge to start a business, you're thinking about, oh, what about this and this, and I don't have this and this, but if you just take the little baby step, then opportunities will fall.
Yeah, us giving up our full-time roles meant that the workload just naturally doubled, tripled. We were making more work for ourselves in just the business, and with that we were opening up more opportunities, which we never would have been able to do had we not quit our jobs. I think we did things kind of backwards in a way, and most of the business books out there, and look, we're still such a young business, so I don't even know if we can be giving advice yet, but but most of the business books out there will say you need to sit down and do a business plan before you do anything, and we didn't do a business plan until, as Dom says, December, when we were applying for a loan through Virgin, which they awarded us, because we already were profitable. And it was great because it actually took us back to the drawing board and made us be really sensible about numbers that perhaps we hadn't looked at, and we had to do it. It was crucial, and now we're much clearer on kind of forecasts and stuff. But equally, I mean, we were running a profitable business before we'd even written it down on paper, and that's just because, we grabbed opportunities. You know, we didn't say, I can't do that before I've written my business plan. We said, we'll do that. Of course we will. You know, yes, we'll write a book. Yes, we'll do these workshops. So I think you just got to be open. You have to be really, really open. But then, eventually the numbers will... You do have to cement things in a kind of a solid base of financial forecast to make sure that your business is viable. It's just don't inhibit yourself if you haven't done that yet.
Yeah. What's been your... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is also, things don't need to be done perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to launch than launch perfectly. You know, it's better to launch without a business plan than with an absolute robust business plan and it takes you a year.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just better to get things done rather than have them 100% perfect, and that can apply to things like business plans or financials. Obviously, at some point, particularly with investors, I mean, if you're going for any sort of investment, you'll have to have those documents.
Yeah.
But almost, how do you even know before you've tried? How can you put those figures together, those sales forecasts, that revenue forecast, until you've done something? Because then you're kind of just sticking your finger in the air as well.
Yeah. When you presented to Virgin, I assume you had to present, you know, the numbers and everything.
Yeah.
Was it a room full of men, or was it balanced, like men and women?
Well, the workshop that we did was probably about 50.
Yeah, it was. It was with other entrepreneurs, so their processes. you go to a day-long workshop with them, with everybody else who's applying, and you hash out your business and kind of help each other, and then you're assigned a not a mentor, but like a business advisor, yeah, and that was a guy, and he then helps you propose to the board, which actually there was only one woman on, and the rest were men. And
were you intimidated?
Well, we were luckily enough, she was the one that reviewed our application.
Yeah.
So I think with beauty, it's easier to sell the concept to a woman because it's just naturally a more slightly feminine thing. You know, men aren't necessarily going to understand the power of like beauty products as well as women. So I think we were lucky in that case, and we were also able to like schmooze her with some products and things like that, which she likes. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, the whole board was male apart from one woman. Yeah.
Did you walk out feeling empowered, or especially when they gave you the loan?
Oh God,
definitely.
Yeah, that was amazing when we because we both applied for the full amount each, which was a bit of a, I mean, not many people do that, but we thought you have to ask for these things. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to try. The worst they could say was no, but they said yes.
Wonderful.
So, and that's been really crucial to our business because we haven't gone through a kind of official round of fundraising yet in terms of approaching investors. We're just starting that process now.
Yeah.
But the Virgin money has helped us so much over the past couple of months. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Now that it's 2017, how do you both feel as women who have started your own business and knowing that, you know, over 100 years ago you wouldn't have been able to do that in this country?
I think things have obviously clearly come so far, and the women that have been fighting for us for the last 100 or so years is incredible. And we're in a position where, we start a business as two females and nobody bats an eyelid because that's, you know, it's acceptable and it hasn't been acceptable. I think we still have a long way to go. I really do believe that. I think that, unfortunately, in business especially, in politics, we are still an incredibly male-dominated society, country, probably the whole of the Western world. Well, no, the whole of the world, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that there are changes that need to be made that are now more subtle than they were 100, 150 years ago when we were fighting for fundamental rights like the vote. I think we're now fighting for subtle adjustments and subtle perception changes of women in the workplace. And I think we have to keep fighting for that because right now it's still a patriarchy. It's still, that's unfortunately the way things are. So we mustn't forget that it's still an important job for all of us to kind of keep striving for equality, even if it's no longer equality in a really obvious way. It's equality in kind of more unspoken ways.
Yeah.
And as a woman, I guess you should never be scared to kind of step out on your own. I think we're faced with men all the time, you know, and particularly as we now go into proper investment seeking, I'm sure that we're going to be faced with a lot of bullish men that, you know, I'm sure that between the two of us we can handle, and it's important to not be intimidated in those kind of circumstances, particularly if you're asking for money, which can always be a little bit of a tricky conversation when it is that gender difference as well, and the man holds the purse strings. But I think, you know, approaching it with confidence, clarity, you know, being really rational and justifying, you know, why you run your business and why you need that money. At the end of the day, any person will be attracted by a good business model and something that can make them money, and it shouldn't be gender specific. So,
of course. Two last questions. What would you tell young girls who are still in school and, you know, a bit impressionable and trying to figure out what they want to do? Maybe some of them want to be businesswomen. But what would you tell them, the shy ones especially?
Just follow your dreams. I mean, the worst thing that you can do is regret not taking a chance and an opportunity. And I think the world is so opportunistic these days. We don't have to follow set career paths. We can be really entrepreneurial, and there's so many opportunities for people to start being entrepreneurs from such a young age. That I think if you've got a good idea that you have an intuition that there's a real gap in the market for, just try it. I mean, the worst that can do, it doesn't work out, and then you know, you go back to your school, your day job, and you carry on. The lessons that you learn from being an entrepreneur are invaluable, and they'll only help you further down the line in your career.
Yeah, and before that, like, you know, we've had 8 or 9 years in the working world before we've become an entrepreneur. I always knew that I wanted to do something of my own, but actually the journey that I studied drama, it's such a random, because I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, I didn't go for an accounting or a business or something more vocational that was probably a bit more sensible. I studied something that I really loved, and then my career is like completely all over the place. I jumped around a lot, but from studying, I've worked for Apple and Facebook and two of the biggest companies in the world, but I've also worked for tiny startups that haven't worked at all and have actually been really rubbish. I worked in recruitment. Like, I've got such a weird CV.
You used to work in a call center.
Yeah, like we've done, like, so to get to where we are, we've taken risks, we've tried things, and done what we enjoyed. A lot of what I did was driven by looking for something that I really enjoyed before I was kind of putting my sensible hat on.
Yeah.
And it's worked out. I've got there. So I think don't give up, and you will get there. You'll find your calling. Don't be alarmed if it's not right away. Like, there's so much pressure on deciding what you want to do with your life. There's no, at 18 I wanted to be an actress, and I didn't give that up until I was into my 20s, and now I'm doing something that I think is 1,000 times better than that. So it's, you don't have to know now.
Yeah.
Like, make mistakes, take risks, and you'll get there.
And work all different kinds of jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's
the great experience, right? Between the two of us, we've probably worked almost every caliber of industry.
Yeah.
But then it means that someone somewhere has experience of something. And I think actually running a business, the best way to see how to run a business is to see people that are doing it badly. And, you know, we've been unfortunate/fortunate to have worked for rubbish companies and rubbish bosses.
Yeah.
And at least we can recognize, okay, those are attributes we don't want to bring to our business. That's not the way to do things. And that's also really important. So, yeah, you don't need to finish school and start a $1 trillion business.
Yeah.
Work for a few years, see how it's done in the real workplace, and then you can take those learnings and improve on them.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. Last question. So the UN comes up with a theme every year for International Women's Day, and this year's theme is Be Bold for Change. So for both of you, finish the sentence. Be Bold for Change is... Dominica.
Demanding better, okay. Demanding better from our brands, our food, our beauty products, every facet of life that affects our wellness, demand better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Be Bold for Change is not giving up.
Okay.
Yeah, even if it gets tough, don't give up. Like, keep striving for change in all aspects of our society, particularly as a woman. Don't be afraid to be knocked down and get back up again.
Yeah, that's the only way you'll grow, right?
Yeah.
You get to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank y'all so much for answering a few questions.
I feel really, like, inspired.
Yeah, I'm going to go be like, yes.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast conversation and that it fed you in some way to pursue your own dreams. Be sure to subscribe to Zela Mag at zelamag.com, ZELEMAG.com, where you'll be automatically entered to win our giveaways. And follow us on Instagram at Zela Magazine, ZELE Magazine. Till next time.